Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Getting something new can be very exciting. A new house, a new car, a new year. Here's a chance to start over, a fresh start with something new, a new beginning. With a new car or a new house, you can hope that you won't have many repairs for a while. You can enjoy the fresh, new, recently built car or home without having to deal with all of those repairs as it ages and gets old, at least initially. But those new things do get old, and they need to be repaired. A new year progresses, and it seems to be filled with the same old, the same kinds of things that may have happened in the last year. Maybe a few new things, but really the same kinds of things. Still, things like sadness, as well as gladness. Having sin, as well as forgiveness. Having new life, as well as death. But wouldn't it be nice if, one year, everything could just be new and stay new? That we didn't have to deal with all of the sadness. That we didn't have to deal with the sin. That we didn't have to deal with the death. Instead, everything could just be new and good and nice and perfect and peaceful. Everything could be wonderful. Well, here on the eve of the eighth day of Christmas, we celebrate someone who was coming to do just that and coming to make all things new. More than 2,000 years ago, a new baby was brought on the eighth day after his birth to be circumcised and named, and it just so happens that that day on which Jesus would have had this done to him, the eighth day, falls on the day that we also celebrate the new year. New Year's Day is the same day as the circumcision and name of Jesus. Now, this circumcision, it was a cutting off of some flesh as a reminder that the old sinful nature of death and decay needed to be cut away. That was in part what it was. It was also part of the covenant that God had given to his people. But this baby didn't have a sinful nature that needed to be cut away. There was no sin that Jesus was born with. But yet this new baby, this God in human flesh, submitted to the law that he had given with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He submitted to the law because he was the one who was going to come and fulfill the whole law in our place. And he was doing something that had never been done before. He was doing something new. He was going to live a perfect life as a man. Something that had not been done before. No human being had been able to manage that. Even Adam, who was created without sin, innocent in the garden, fell into sin. No one had ever lived a perfect life before. But here was one who was going to do just that. Live a perfect life in our place. And he wasn't doing that then to show off and just merely to set an example for us. To say, hey, pull yourselves up by your bootstraps and work a little harder. Do a little better. See, follow my example. No, he was doing more than just setting an example. He was coming here to live the perfect life in our place, to keep the perfect record in our place. And then to go to the cross as the one who had already kept the perfect record in our place and to die for us in our place and be punished as one who didn't deserve to be punished, but so that he could be punished for all of our sins on the cross. As the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is what Jesus was coming to do here when he was born, and even as he was being circumcised and named. And its purpose for what he was going to do to rescue us can be seen in the name that he was given. He was given the name Jesus. Now, that name wasn't chosen simply because Mary and Joseph thought it sounded nice. Wasn't because they looked it up in a baby book and said, this looks good. But he was given that name because as we read in our very short gospel reading for tonight. An angel had given this name to Mary before Jesus was conceived in her womb, that this is what he was to be called. And if you go back to the book of Matthew, you see that when the angel appears to Joseph to tell him that he should not be afraid to take Mary as his wife, that the angel says a little bit more about why this baby is to be called Jesus. The angel says the baby is to be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. This was the purpose. Because you see, the very name Jesus means the Lord is salvation. And what kind of salvation was he coming to bring? Was he coming to give the people of Israel a new kingdom? To build a nation state? No. Someone could have gotten that idea from the name, because the name also is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means the Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. And Joshua was the one that led the people of Israel out of the wilderness, finally into the promised land, and did do battle against the enemies of the people of God there. And God used him to, in a way, save the people, give them their land, the land that God had promised. And so someone, seeing that this Jesus was going to be named Jesus, to be given the same name, just the Hebrew version or the Greek version of the Hebrew name Joshua, that perhaps he was one who was going to kick out the enemies of the people of God and build a nation state. But no, he wasn't going to do that. We see, again, as we look back at Matthew, when the angel appears to Joseph in a dream, that what this name is given because Jesus is going to save his people from their sins. Because sin is really the underlying root cause for all of the problems and the evils that we have in this world. For all of the death and the disease, for all of the problems that we see around us. Jesus was coming to rescue us from that by his death on the cross. And he did it. He did it by his perfect life, by his perfect suffering, by his perfect death. When Jesus died then on the cross, it said there that your sin had been paid for, that you no longer have to be separated from God by sin. It said that the devil's claim on you can be broken. You can be freed from sin and death and the devil. This is what we ultimately and finally and perfectly need, is for Jesus to do this. Because a savior who might come to try to build a nation state, a human being who might try to be the perfect politician, the perfect leader, is still a sinner. And is still going to run up against human sin. And no matter how well people, human beings, sinners, build a nation state, there will still be sin. Sin still creeps in. And there are still problems, as we see again and again in human history. No, what we needed is one who is coming to make all things truly new by giving us new life, by washing away sin, the underlying problem, which he did and applied to us in baptism, applied to you, when he washed you there and made you his very own child and said, "You belong to me." It was because of his death that this baptism can work and can wash you. And what's more, you were also given a name in that baptism. When you were washed of sin, when your sin was put to death, you were given the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and adopted into his family. Here, there is not merely a cutting away, a symbolic cutting away of the sinful flesh, but actually a new birth, a drowning of sin, and a new birth as a new creature in Christ. So that you are a new being in him. And so we look to the one here as we begin this new year, who receives his name on the same day that we celebrate the new year and start a new year and have a new beginning and looking forward to things being new and starting over, starting fresh. On that same day, we look to the one who bore the name that said he was going to finally rescue us from all of this sin and death. The one whose name means the Lord is salvation. The one who is going to finally rescue us from all of these things and give us a truly new life. A new life that began here in your baptism and is sustained as he gives you himself in the Lord's Supper, but a new life that will be seen in all of its fullness when Christ returns and your bodies are raised, when your bodies are glorified, and you live forever with him. In that, you will have truly new life. There will be not just a new year, but a new era, a new eternal life that will not have an end, that will last forever. The new house will get old, the new car will get old, the new year will get old. There will be sin, there will be death, there will be sadness in this sinful world. But in Christ, there will be new life forever. There will be perfect righteousness without sin. And there will be gladness. Joy, oh joy, beyond all gladness. Because Christ has done away with sadness. And so when you see the name of Jesus, remember that he was given his name on the day that we celebrate tomorrow. Given the name Jesus, that means Yahweh saves. And to that end, it's helpful here in our sanctuary that we have a reminder of that name. Up on the wall here, one of our new banners, you see these letters IHS, it looks like. Those are actually three Greek letters that are the first three Greek letters of the name Jesus. And you'll see this sometimes in other Christian art and artwork. And when we see that name in the Greek, as it's recorded for us in Scripture, Jesus, we should remember what this name means. That it means the Lord is salvation. That the Lord saves. And that he comes to save you. And to rescue you from all the sin and the sadness and the death that you see around you, and to give you new life. And that Jesus has delivered you from the domain of Satan and made you a child of his own, and will one day give you the full and complete and new life forever in heaven with him. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen.